Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, Melissa K.
Good morning.
And, of course, the best listeners in radio. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We hope you're having a great one out there. We got good things lined up for you this hour. We're going to kick things off with our good friend, Brittany Merlot, talking a little Mother Nature. Good morning, Brittany.
Good morning. Who else is singing the song with me, like, rain, rain, go away?
Yeah. Have either of you ever experienced this where you wash your car and then, like, an hour later it rains? Like, it feels like that's what we just experienced with the snow and then the rain. Like, we do. We finally got snow, everybody. It was outside making snowmen last night, and then now they're gone. They're gone. They're rain men now. They're rain men, and that's not as much fun.
No. At least you got out and played in it. I also did as well. I did some snow angels. I went sledding. Now, let me tell you, I went sledding in the rain, and I didn't make it very far. It was very mushy. It was like mashed potatoes, but I did it.
You did it.
Nice.
That's what counts, Brittany.
Well,
exactly.
Done.
Yes, you did it. That's it is.
Oh,
so we are looking to hit weather bingo today. Are we going to hit everything again? Are we, like, the last couple of days, Brittany? What is it looking like?
We are. These weather brackets are phenomenal.
Oh, that's what we got to do next year. We got to do a March Madness with weather.
Oh, that would be so much fun. But yeah, we're going to hit all, I mean, I guess most of the seasons, not summer. Sorry. But what we're going to have today, yeah, we've already seen about a half an inch of rain just today into Wisconsin Rapids area. A little bit more Abbotsford getting like 3/4 of an inch. So another quarter of an inch of rain
here
is still possible. Yuck. I know. It's just so dreary. So it's going to be a sloppy, slushy, muddy mess. Obviously, stay off the trails. You're not going to want to be on them anyways. I hope you found your rain boots and the umbrella. You're going to need them. Rain will continue till about 4. All right. Then it's going to scatter out a little bit. We could see some patchy fog building in as well because of all the snow melting, the warmer temperatures. I mean, we're going to climb to the 50s today. So more snow melting, just soggy, nasty ground. But what's going to happen after 4 is we're going to see those winds start to gust out of the northwest. Now we're going to get blasted with the cold, and it's going to crash our temperatures to about 37 degrees for the rest of the night. So it's going to fall pretty quickly from 50 to the upper 30s. And then, you know, we're going to go below freezing. So all this wetness and whatever's still falling from the sky will have the potential to flip to a wintry mix right around that evening commute, and then over to some light snow overnight. But we're not looking at heavy accumulations, just about a half an inch to a trace. But it's going to be slippery tomorrow morning.
Good to know. Good to know. Yeah. We got a heads up.
Yeah. Do you think we're going to see any flooding from this, Brittany?
It is definitely possible, especially because we had that foot of snow on the ground, and now another inch to an inch and maybe a half is possible in some areas. So, yes, I think those rivers are going to be rising. I think we're going to see some of that starting over the next few days as all of those, you know, the ground absorbs it, then they'll start rising and causing some issues. But
I'm a little scared to go in my basement.
Flooding as well. You do?
No, I said I'm a little scared to go in my basement.
I'm scared to go in my garage, too.
All right, I'll come by and check it out for you guys. I'll come out. That's what I do. It's a side gig of mine. I go check out basements for people. I just go. It doesn't pay a lot, but you know, it keeps me busy.
You're going to make a lot of money this day.
Yeah, really. Brittany, we appreciate you so much. Thanks for getting us informed. We'll hang out again tomorrow.
Sounds good. Stay dry.
Have a great day. Best in the business right there, our friend Brittany Merlot. We appreciate her. Good things lined up this morning. We have the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club right around the corner. Looking forward to that. We're going to get into the percentage of millennial parents that think they're amazing. And we're going to talk about sunshine guilt.
Sunshine guilt or guilt?
Yeah. Sunshine guilt. G-U-I-L-T. Just in case I wasn't saying it correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to make sure I was saying it right.
Guilt, as in guilty.
Yes. Got that coming up. A little entertainment news for you in the 9 o'clock hour as well. And in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to get into which of these foods is the grossest. We've got a bunch of categories we'll get to. We'll see which one hits the list.
I'm guessing you and I are going to differ on this.
Possibly, which could be fun. Could be a lot of fun. But Melissa, I think I came across a fun one here that others may want to jump in on.
Okay.
A pair of Florida women are attempting to create a new Guinness World Record by driving 500 miles down the state's coast in a pair of toy cars. Cassie Aran and her friend Lauren, who requested her last name be withheld, are documenting their adventures on social media after setting off from Friendship Fountain in Jacksonville in a pair of ride-on toy cars. The women are aiming to make the 500-mile drive to southernmost point Boyo in Key West in time of about 2 months. The duo said Guinness World Records does not currently list a record holder for the longest distance traveled by a toy car, but the record-keeping organization approved their application to and integrate the category. So that's kind of cool. They made their own category here.
Okay.
Quote, this just kind of came to this wild idea because we had these cars as kids. We used to ride around in toy cars as kids and have always wanted the Guinness World Record to attempt. So we're like, this would be a fun way to kind of do it and to honor their childhood.
Okay.
The record attempt is raising money for animal charities, including the Red Panda Network in Nepal, the Costa Rican Animal Rescue Center, the Save a Fox Rescue in Minnesota, do amazing work, and the World Bird Sanctuary in Missouri, who also do some amazing work. All these organizations do amazing work.
Wow. That's good. I'm glad they're doing that.
Yeah.
That makes it more noteworthy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, to be honest, I would be a little, like, jealous of them having the time to do this and everything, but...
Well, yeah, I have questions.
Yeah. But as it is, because of the cause that they're doing it for, the cause is that they're doing it for, I'm with you, Melissa. Like, yeah, okay, this brings it all full circle. Like, it'd be pretty hard. I don't know if they have significant others or not, or have jobs or anything like that, but it'd be pretty hard to be like, yeah, me and my friend just want to, you know, basically... Just overdose on nostalgia. We want to get our toy cars. We're going to drive this route that we've been on before and have some fun.
Yeah. Well, so I wonder if they're like, you know, just driving a certain amount of time a day. Like, these are my questions. Like, do they work full-time jobs? And then they are like, let's drive to our location, get back in our cars, and keep going.
That's a good question.
That's their evening entertainment. Because why else would this take them 2 months?
God, I am here for any segment that makes you do sound effects. Any segment. I think that's a very good question too. Because I would like to know their like how they're doing this. I would like to know the logistics a little bit of it.
Yeah, well, because they gotta charge them.
Like, right.
They can't just
right.
drive continuously. Those things don't. They aren't refillable.
Yeah, and they are the true toy cars. They're like they look like little like sports cars.
Yeah, they're not souped up ones.
Yeah, and they look fun. It does look like it's fun, and they are documenting the whole thing too, which is kind of interesting too.
Just imagine the slow-mo pictures they can get. Very slow. I mean, I took some awesome photos on the drive back from Arizona. Actually, those are some of the best photos I got on the way back. Through the car window driving, you know, 65 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You're going to get some awesome ones going, what, 0.3 miles an
like
hour?
That, yeah. I also think that this, and they seem like really, really good friends, but am I just somebody who does not have a lot of friends or something, or am I overthinking it? Or because it does seem like this would test your friendship a little bit.
It might, not
to where you're not going to be friends anymore, but I mean, it would definitely push things. I would think it would definitely.
Yeah, well, the commitment to being able to do that's a big time commitment. Two months.
Yeah.
Of this, you know, like okay, let's get back on the road. Little toy cars. They can't be comfortable.
No,
as a full size adult.
No, they're barely comfortable as kids. And I tell you, you didn't even have to have me tell you that they're doing this in Florida. Like, there's no other, there's almost no other state that you could get away with. Maybe California, you can get away with this, but Texas.
But in some way, I'm glad they're women.
Yeah.
I don't know. So that makes it better somehow.
I'm with you. And I can't exactly put my finger on why, but it does. It does. It does. good on them for raising all the awareness and money for the charities that they are, too, though.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a fun story. If you'd like to see the full article, UPI.com has it. A couple of other local Florida newspapers have it, too. A shout out to our Florida listeners who sent that over to me. Appreciate them. Thanks all to our friends over in the Miami area. We appreciate them waking up with us, too. It's a little earlier, I would imagine, there. But, yeah. And you guys in Florida, you guys here in Wisconsin, wherever you're listening to us, get in on this because we're all getting ready for spring. We're all gearing up for it. And we have got this awesome contest going on. It is the Civic Media Ride in the Spring Text to Win Statewide Contest.
That's right.
Yeah.
Happening four times a day.
Four times a day, you got an opportunity to receive an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in beautiful Wisconsin Dells. Mm-hmm. And all entrants are entered to win some great one of our two grand prizes, Melissa.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah.
Got a brand new bike that we're giving away, this Cadillac of blenders, this 3-in-1 blender, an outdoor patio love seat, all kinds of great stuff. And all you got to do is download the Civic Media app. That's it. Yeah. Yep. Melissa and I will even wait.
Well, maybe you'll wait. I'll explain.
Okay, yeah.
Once you download the app, then you just hit the text button. And, I mean, your favorite station is us. Choose WFHR as your home station. Then every time you open the app, it automatically will take you right there with one touch.
That's all you got to do.
And then you just hit the text button and listen during those hours, 7, 10, 1, and 3, for the word.
Mm-hmm.
Keyword?
It's a keyword.
Yeah, there we go. And it's different every hour. So mm-hmm. It's only good for an hour. But that means you can enter up to four times a day.
It's pretty cool. It's a lot of fun. And it's free.
That's right.
That's right. Awesome.
The app is free. And it's a great app. You can just call us with one button dialing, text us with one button texting.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you pull over to do this, please.
Yes.
Not while you're driving.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a chance to be entered for all these great prizes.
Yeah, and boy, they are not only great prizes, but this is just between us, okay? All right, just between Melissa, me, and all of you, okay? This isn't the last contest we're doing like this. This is actually kind of the beginning.
It's kind of like the test contest.
Yeah,
James.
It really is. And you've heard us talk about the owner of our company, the head of our company, Sage, before. For those who haven't heard and weren't with us when Civic Media first took over and Sage joined us on the air here a couple of times, Sage comes from a tech background. Mm-hmm. He knows his stuff. This is where he made his name, his money, his legacy. He's done some incredible work in that field. So when you're downloading an app from us, it's not like just from any other station. Our owner is up at 2 a.m. fixing problems that we have from time to time and everything. He's our main tech guy, really.
He's the guy.
He's not going to have a flimsy app under his name. He's not going to do something like that. You can count on that. And we also understand that, nowadays we've got about 20 apps on our phone. We want to give you a reason. Why would you have download this app? This contest is great, yes. But Civic Media puts on your app tons of great radio that you can get anywhere you are listening to us. It'll come in. And it's got a great timer on it.
The best part, though, is that it's all Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Everything you find on that app is coming from here. It's local. Our station is obviously very local, but then every station across the state, you can listen to, Mino and the Mayor in Green Bay. You can listen to Jane Matinee on air or Jane Jane Talks or Jane Speaks. Did I hear her? It's changing.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I heard rumors.
As long as it's Jane. They can call that show whatever they want. As long as it's her.
But she's in Waukesha, I believe. Waukesha? Mm-hmm. I think so. Mm-hmm. Yep. But we're getting all local Wisconsin-based, Wisconsin-related information, news, politics, everything that you want to hear about Wisconsin is on this app.
We're a young company, we're a local company, and we're appreciative to our listeners who have helped us build from the ground up and get to where we are now and where we're going, especially in a year like this. We appreciate y'all. Download the Civic Media app, be listening for today. You're going to listen at the top of the 10, 1, and 3 o'clock hours, and you'll get that keyword and text it to us. Get in on this, everybody. The Civic Media Statewide Ride in the Spring Text to Win Contest. Ah, it's a fun one. We're going to come back. We'll celebrate the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning right here at WFHR. It's time to do some celebrating with the Birthday and Anniversary Club. Yay! It's the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you to treat yourselves. Get on over to El Cafe. They're open right now. Get on over there. Wish them a great day from all of us. They're at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. They do want to let everybody know that they are going to be, just a reminder, they will be closed on Easter Sunday to allow their employees to spend holiday with their families.
Awesome.
They'll reopen on Tuesday. Keep that in mind, everybody. Get on over there right now and check out all the great things that they have to offer over at El Cafe. Get us your birthdays and anniversaries. We want to celebrate with you. Info at WFHR.com, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. You can direct message us, of course, on our Facebook pages and download the Civic Media app.
Mm-hmm. And you could be signed up to win some free El Cafe.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, go ahead and join us, everybody. Call up and join the conversation, 715-424-2600. Love to hear from every one of you. Mm-hmm. Melissa, I need a one or a two from you.
Let's go with two today.
All right. Gives us that qualifier so we can get right down to the celebrating. And we want to wish a very happy birthday to Lucy Goodman.
Happy birthday, Lucy.
Yeah, wishing you a great day, Lucy. Enjoy your day. And we wish a happy birthday to Troy Blanchard, our qualifier.
Hey, congrats, Troy, and happy birthday.
Congratulations, Troy. Wishing you a good day, sir. Hope it's a great one for you. And a big thank you to everybody that got us these birthdays and anniversaries. Keep them coming, everybody. We love celebrating with you. Want more and more of them.
Yes, indeed.
We take a look now at our celebrity list. Keira Knightley is 39 today. Pirates
really?
Yeah. Pirates of the Caribbean, Bend It Like Beckham, Pride and Prejudice, Love Actually.
Mm-hmm. I like Keira Knightley.
Great actor. I kind of feel like the only reason we don't see her more is because she just doesn't want to work more or something.
Doesn't need to.
Yeah. It seems like I don't care what the role is. I would not want to go up against her for a role. Like, she just seems like one of those actors that can really pull off a lot of different things.
Well, I mean, she's got a wide range, too. She's a model, a singer, and then, on her off time, she's a philanthropist, feminist, and human rights advocate.
I had no idea about half of those things. That is really cool. That is really, really cool. Good honor. That is very cool. We continue on with one of the more talented human beings out there. Jonathan Groff is 39 today. King George in Hamilton. Kristoff in Frozen. He's also Jesse on Glee and Patrick on HBO's Looking. He was on did a great job on Netflix's Mindhunter TV show. He is such a versatile, great guy. I didn't see Frozen until like a year ago or whatever. I hadn't seen those, but I hadn't seen Hamilton right away, and I didn't know he was in it. I saw him in a TV show on Netflix, Mindhunter, and it's about the early days of the FBI figuring out how to profile serial killers and stuff.
Oh.
It's a fascinating show. It was really good. Of course, it's on Netflix, so Netflix didn't take advantage of having a great show like that and continue to put money into it or anything. They just canceled it. But he was amazing on it. I didn't know how versatile he was. Disney releases Hamilton. A lot of us got to watch it finally. And he's King George. And dear God, there's like two or three songs that I would recommend. I don't care if you like musicals or not, to listen to in Hamilton. One of them is the King George song, You'll Be Back.
Okay.
Watch his performance. Listen to him sing it. It's some of the best acting I've ever seen, Melissa.
Oh, wow. That's saying something.
Genuinely is. It blew me away. I knew he was a good actor. I didn't know how versatile he was and he could sing all this.
He's got one of those versatile faces, too. Like, he kind of looks like everybody.
Yeah. And he does a great job as Kristoff in the Frozen series. Amy Smart is 48. She's a good actor. She's been in a handful of things. Butterfly Effect, a couple of other things like that. Yeah, she's good.
Mm-hmm.
Leslie Mann is 52. She's married to Judd Apatow. She is in pretty much all of his movies. She's a good actress. She could have gotten in him, even not married to him, though. She's a good actor. She was great. She was the drunk girl in 40-Year-Old Virgin. I think that might be a good reference for some. Katherine Heigl's sister in Knocked Up. She was in a bunch of them.
She was in The Other Woman, This Is 40.
Yeah, she's good.
Oh, she was in George of the Jungle in 1997.
Oh, wow. I forgot about that one. Oh, man. Brendan Fraser. Oh. We celebrated this over on the Sunrise Show. Kenny Chesney is 56 today. Happy birthday to him.
Wow.
One of the better actors I've ever seen on TV, Michael Imperioli, is 58 today. Tony's nephew on The Sopranos. He's gotten behind the camera a lot more now and been a director. Been doing a lot of good work. John Stockton is 62, retired Utah Jazz point guard, one of the better assist men in the game. Jennifer Grey is 64, baby in Dirty Dancing.
Oh, wow.
Ferris's sister in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. She won season 11 of Dancing with the Stars. And
64.
I can't believe she's 64. She looks great. And yeah. I'm extremely happy for her that she won that Dancing with the Stars. I don't care about reality TV or anything like that. But Jennifer Grey got some really bad advice when she was young. And actors have this happen to them all the time. We 99% of us go into this industry without having anybody who looks out for us, any relatives, any connections, or anything like that. Most of us aren't related to a Coppola. You go in and you have one person that you see all the time, you talk to all the time, and you trust, and it's your agent. And your agent has, you know, you figure, well, they're making a percentage off of my contract. I mean,
they care, right?
Yeah, of course they do and stuff. No, they care about the money. The majority of them, I shouldn't say all of them. I've had two really good agents out of the 10 I've had. I've had two really, really good ones. One of them I still talk to this day. So there can be good ones out there, but it's very rare. Jennifer's agent tells her, she's already gotten, she's gotten Ferris Bueller, she's gotten Dirty Dancing, she's baby in Dirty Dancing, her star has never been higher, and her agent is in her head telling her, you're never going to get other work, you're not going to get another leading role with that nose. Gets a nose job, nobody sees her again. You know, and it's not even in her hands necessarily. She's a grown woman. She made the decision. I'm not saying she didn't. But if the one person that has all the knowledge of the industry is telling you this is what's going to help you stay in the industry, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know? And it's just a shame because she's a good actor and she deserved better than that. One of the better running backs of all time, Marcus Allen, is 64 today. Let's see here. Oh. The great, the legend, the amazing Martin Short is 74.
Wow.
I've seen everything that man has ever done. I've grown up loving. I'm totally mental about Martin Short. I can't believe it. It's so totally crazy. I used to do Ed Grimley running around the house as a kid. I just love Martin Short. Big, big, big fan.
He's awesome.
I think Martin Short is an incredibly, incredibly talented actor who has a lot of versatility to him. I can say that now. I didn't always know that about him. I don't think Martin Short got a lot of opportunities to do a lot of dramatic work or those kind of things. In this TV show, Only Murders in the Building, he's done it all. Every single emotion he has done, and every one of them he has done amazingly. I think Steve Martin is an incredible actor, one of the most talented human beings we've ever seen. I think Selena Gomez is just right there. She, when it's all said and done, she's going to go down as one of the greats probably. Martin Short blows him away. Like, almost every time he's on screen, he almost blows him away. It's incredible. I don't think we ever gave Martin Short the credit as an actor that he deserved. And he's really showing, I got it. Like, I got it. So cool to see. Such a good actor. Such a good personality.
But I do have to mention a throwback to 1987 and Innerspace.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, I love that movie. Yes.
I love that movie.
Such a good movie. Such a good movie.
And he's the guy that has something implanted, the ship, miniaturized and implanted inside of his body.
The beginning of it, where when he first finds out about it and stuff, and he's in that white shirt and throwing himself around the apartment. I don't know why, but it gets me every time. Every time. I love Martin Lawrence. Martin Short. Martin Lawrence, too. Vicki Lawrence. I was thinking Martin Lawrence because Vicki Lawrence is right here at 75. Mama's Family, Carol Burnett Show. Vicki Lawrence, I always admired her because I always thought she was a very beautiful woman who always seemed to play the old woman, like in a grandma or something like that, even though that was like 30. She was playing a character 30 years older than her or whatever. And she'd do it just like fearlessly. Like, if it makes you laugh, I'll do it kind of thing. I learned so much from Vicki Lawrence and actors like her that, the Jodie Foster line, being a good actor is being the most uncool person in the room. It's not about being cool. It's about entertaining people.
Right.
She was really good at that. Steven Tyler is 76 today, Aerosmith frontman and songwriter. a really good showman. Steven Tyler can really perform.
Yeah.
One of the greatest ever, Diana Ross, is 80 today.
Wow, 80.
80. You Can't Hurry Love, Baby Love, Stop in the Name of Love, 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 Love. No, a lot of songs with love in it. Her daughter is Tracy Ellis Ross. She is the wife on Black-ish, a good actor herself. And Diana Ross, incredible career. What an incredible career.
Yeah. And a lot of those songs now, or at least one of them, I'm for sure, is on the Trolls movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm coming out.
Oh, that's right, yeah. We got a couple of more names left, everybody, so go ahead and get comfortable because we got to get to these. We have to mention Bob Woodward, born in this day, 81 years old today, one of the reporters who they say took down President Nixon. It's not about taking down a president. It's about informing the people.
Public.
It's about informing
journalism.
People and everything. Whatever happens after that is what happens. But the act of journalism, the truth of journalism, is to be that bridge, is that between us and politicians, between us and companies. Mm-hmm. It is the truth. That is the essence of it. It isn't about taking down a Republican or a Democrat or anything like that. It is about getting facts and truth out there
to the people, because some of them don't want us to know these things for obvious reasons.
And we have to stop acting like good reporting ends with the reporter. Okay, Bob Woodward does great report, puts it out there, puts out out there information on then President Nixon that nobody knew. What did Nixon do? What did they do? They didn't double down. They didn't. I didn't do it. Well, I mean, yeah, they did some stupid things. No, but what did the American people do? They didn't shout fake news. They didn't whine and complain. When they were presented with facts, they didn't act like children and babies. They took in those facts, and even if it was somebody that they liked, they acknowledged it. That's the way this works. Nowadays, the fact that Melissa could say to me, James, your name is James. Fake news, Melissa. That's not my name. I go by Jim. What are you talking about? We need to get back to the Woodwards. We need to get back to the true journalism.
Mm-hmm. And then also just owning up to what we've done wrong.
The thing that these politicians forget, and not just politicians, they'll say celebrities, they get in trouble and all of these things.
Mm-hmm. Corporations.
What happened when we were kids? If you owned up to it, you didn't get in as much trouble. Yeah, you still got in trouble, but you didn't get in as much.
And you didn't lose all respect.
Yeah.
I respect somebody more for owning their mistake than for doubling down and saying, no, I didn't do it. Somebody else did. This is somebody else's problem, somebody else's fault.
Yeah.
No, 100%. I have zero respect for people who do that.
I have zero respect, and I refuse to put my name with anybody that does anything like that. Got some people no longer with us, like the great Alan Arkin, would have been 90 today, founding Second City Television member and Adam Arkin's dad. From 1970 to 72, he was Larry on Sesame Street. In 2007, he won the Best Supporting Actor for The Grandpa and Little Miss Sunshine. One of my favorite people of all time, Alan Arkin. I love, love, love Alan Arkin. Every time I see him on screen, I smile. Every time.
Oh, he was in Edward Scissorhands.
He was beautiful in that, yeah. Alan Arkin never did a bad job in his life. He's the psychiatrist in Gross Point Blank, and it's one of my favorite performances ever of anything. Like it's just so good. It's so good. Sandra Day O'Connor would have been 94 today. Aww. Born in 1930, passed away in 2023. First woman on the Supreme Court bench.
Wow.
James Caan, another great actor, born in 1940. He was Sonny Corleone and the Godfather. He was Ed in Las Vegas, but a lot of people might remember him as Scott Caan's dad in real life. Also, he was Will Ferrell's dad in Elf. The great, the legend, Leonard Nimoy, born on this day in 1931. Live long and prosper. Teddy Pendergrass, born on this day in 1950. Close the door. Love TKO. Turn off the lights. Ooh. Teddy Pendergrass could sing. And one of the greatest playwrights of all time, Tennessee Williams, born on this day in 1911, passed away in 1983. I didn't realize he lived into the 80s there.
Wow.
Of course, A Streetcar Named Desire, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. And Melissa, have you ever done heard of any Tennessee Williams plays?
Maybe The Glass Menagerie.
Oh, yes, that's right. You were so great at that. So good.
Aw, thanks.
We encourage you to get us more of these birthdays and anniversaries. Everybody, we love celebrating with you. And we encourage you to celebrate with our great friends at El Cafe. They're at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Go over there. Mm-hmm. Wish them a good morning from all of us here at WFHR. Melissa and James will be back after our news right here on The Morning Show.
Tell me what's on your mind.
Well, we're about to. Melissa and I are about to tell you what's on our mind. It's what we do for a living. We talk. That's kind of what we have to do. I had to play that Everybody Leonard Nimoy sample in there. It's got the Leonard Nimoy saying the words. I had to play. It's Leonard Nimoy. It would have been Leonard Nimoy's birthday. So, in my head,
in
it made
honor
sense.
Of.
Yes. Thank you, Melissa. We got some fun stuff to get to this in this segment here. I want to touch on with you, Melissa. We're going to get into in a moment here sunshine guilt and what that is. But first, before we can get into that, we have to get into another term. And it seems like Gen Z just came up with the bed rotting term yesterday. For those who don't know, that's basically sitting in bed all day or sitting around and not wanting to do anything. Well, now they have another term, herkle-durkle.
Kirkle.
And I did check. I can say that on the air. It is safe with the FCC. Let me just double check. Got an FCC guy in the building here. Yep. And we're good. We're good. All right. So herkle durkle, we can say. it's all over TikTok right now. It's an old Scottish term for when it's...
I was going to say, it sounds Scottish.
Yeah, it's an old Scottish term for when it's time to get up, but you stay in bed anyway. For example, I was late for work because I herkle durkled for about a solid 20 minutes today.
Mm-hmm.
That's really
like lollygagging.
Lollygagging. Now, lollygagging, I feel like I know what you mean when you say lollygagging. If I've never heard somebody say herkle-durkle before, I'm like, should you be telling me that? Should you? I don't know if you can say that out loud. Like, might be a priest around here or something. I don't know. It's a safe term. It's completely fine. But like, there are words and there are terms in our lexicon that are completely innocent, but have a dirty sound to them, if you're not familiar with the word, you're like, I don't know if you can say that, or you wouldn't say it in front of your parents. Like, it's like how. There are ways, like my mother obviously has said my name my whole life, but there's certain ways when she says Jimmy, like it's a swear word. It's not even my name anymore. It becomes a swear word, and it immediately feels that way. I feel like that with this. Like you're taking the word, and it feels like it's completely okay, but I don't know. Do we really need a term for lazy? Like I feel like we already have these words.
Well, we do have some, but I think that some of them are, you know, they're localized to your culture or your heritage.
Yeah.
And in Scotland, they have a lot of fun ones.
Oh, yes, they do. Yes, yes. God, I love the Scottish language. Yeah. I have a good friend from high school that I still talk to every once in a while from Scotland. She has one of those thick Scottish accents. Man, yeah. I used to feel so bad for her, though, because people would always ask her to say words and everything. And she humored them. But, you know. So now that we got that term out of the way, we got another trending one. And a lot of people say that they've dealt with it. Do you ever battle sunshine guilt? It's when there's a string of days with bad weather, then it's sunny, but you just don't feel like going out. Early spring is prime sunshine guilt season.
Okay.
It's loosely related to other trendy terms like FOMO and bed rotting, and we mentioned herkle-durkling. That's a Scottish term for staying in bed. Your sunshine guilt might cut even deeper if you check social media and see your friends enjoying nice weather and you're not. A woman on TikTok is blowing up after she said she was having a perfectly okay day indoors until her sunshine guilt ruined everything. I mean,
that has more to do, I think, with us, with our social media issues that we experience by looking at other people's pictures and going, oh, look at everybody's on vacation. I never get to take vacation. Oh, look at everybody's happy with their family. I don't have kids. You know, I think it's a similar thing.
Yes, absolutely. I think you're 100% right. I think that's a part of it. Because it even exists when you're not looking at social media. You look outside and you're like, oh, I should get out and do something in the yard today. And you're like, oh, but I also want to watch this show. I could see it being a personal thing as much as that. I think what it comes down to is it can be a bit of a mental health thing. And what we're doing a lot of right now is we've got more time than we've ever had to think, and we're dissecting that more, and I think some things I don't know that we're overthinking, but we're able to give terms to, hey, I have this feeling. Lots of other people I know have this feeling, but it's never really had a word of its own. We call it this, we call it that, but that's just for lack of a better phrase or lack of a better word. Now we're actually able to give terms and kind of, you know, a skeleton and meat and bones to these terms, to these words, to these feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Which can only help us. The best way to deal with something is to acknowledge it.
Yeah, and to name it.
Yeah, and once you do, you're able to maybe handle it a little bit better and work through it or what have you. That nothing gets done by ignoring it or, you know,
pushing
shoving it
aside.
Under the bed, as my mother has reminded me many, many times.
No, I usually find that to be true. If I can identify why I'm feeling a way, it helps me come to terms with it and then be able to, like, okay, yep, that's why. Now I'm going to move on.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. To me, that's not only do I feel healthier from something like that, but I feel like the people around me can feel that and sense that.
Because it's a level of emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
Of being able to say, okay, well, and I think that we go through this with kids, especially toddlers and young children. Like, okay, yes, you are feeling frustrated right now. Sometimes we have to help them name why they're feeling the way they are. And there's been studies done on this, and for young children who don't learn those other emotions besides anger, joy, you know, there's like a 6 main emotions that everybody knows. If you don't help them name the other ones, like frustration or irritation, they don't know them, and then they automatically go to one of the other main emotional responses.
I don't know this for a fact, but I was told through therapy and everything that I was kind of one of those kids. Just didn't experience a lot of other emotions other than, you know, some very tense ones growing up. It took me a long time to kind of, even to this day, to kind of realize how to express other emotions, how to have other emotions in heat of the moment and things like that. My body language is one of those things I work on a lot. We're all a work in progress.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the more that we can, you know, learn to identify or help to name what we're feeling, it can only help, like you said, us and those around us.
Yes. Yes. Because that's what it's about. It's not, you know, certainly you have to come first. You have to take care of your own backyard. But it's important to keep in mind those people around you as well.
Mm-hmm. I know that when I'm able to, like, you know, tell my partner, I am just irrationally angry today, and I don't know why. It helps him know how to interact with me.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not you that I'm angry with. I'm just, for some reason, feeling anger or, you know, frustration or whatever it is. And then we're able to talk through it. And a lot of times that helps me get past it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or there's what Melissa does with me, throw things at me.
Yeah, it's really a lot harder now that I'm not in the same building with you a lot of days. But poor Kevin.
Well,
I'm not sure why things are flying across the room.
Yeah, but to Melissa's credit, I know we're an audio medium, so you can't see this. During the commercial break, she hits me all the time, and I have no idea how. I don't know how you do that. I'm still looking around at
it's
the ceiling.
I gotta
learn that trick. I'm going to try to figure that out as we go to commercial break. We'll come back after hearing from our partners and more fun in store right here at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR. Little Fiona Apple to play us in off of her album from the 90s. And speaking of 90s, we encourage you to check out Unlabeled. It comes on after Seth Faces Music, 6 to 8. Catch Seth Faces Music every Sunday. After that, 8 to 9, Unlabeled. Your 90s mixtape. Yeah.
Yeah.
Your opportunity to hear anything that was released from 1990 to 1999. We got some fun stuff. I've just been getting bombarded by requests. I'm still waiting one from you, from Melissa. I'm still waiting for a request from you.
Okay. I'll get you one.
Yeah, I'd love that. I'd love that. We've gotten a couple of them already, and really do appreciate everybody having some fun with that show. Be sure to catch it and get us your requests, everybody. We're having a lot of fun.
You know it's going to be SWV or Ace of Base, right?
Yes, I can't wait. Yes. That's hilarious. You and Katrina have both been threatening me with some of those, and that's great. If it's released in the 90s, I want to play it, you know?
You don't like it.
Yeah. I think that one of the funnest things about the 90s for music was how where we are now with music, especially younger generations, they mash everything up. There is no more genres. They mix all of it up, and that's just kind of where they were going. Our generation really got that ball rolling. I mean, not to say we started it. I don't mean that, but we got it really rolling with that. Mm-hmm. You look at a lot of the music pairings back in the day, in the 90s. A lot of the mixing of genres, and a lot of how I think a lot of this happened with country music becoming much more pop. And hip hop becoming much more pop like, and pop music kind of almost centering itself and being like, this is what pop music is. It's just interesting. And then where we are now.
The evolution of music is fascinating.
It's so good. Some of the best classes I've ever taken are music classes, even though they really don't apply to anything I do in my life. I really haven't had any use.
With that. I think music affects all of us in different ways, and there's different ways that we can utilize it. How many of us put on a specific song or album when we're feeling a certain way?
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very true.
Yeah. It helps us to tie back in with our last segment, deal with our emotions.
Nicely done. You're 1,000% right about that. I don't know about most people out there, but especially I don't have a whole lot of times to listen to music. So now I find myself either I'm in a mood and I want a soundtrack to that mood. Mm-hmm. Or I know I need to be in a certain mood, and I want that soundtrack for that to get me into that mood. It's always music. It's always music that I go to for these things. Anytime I'm building a character, I've got a new role, and I'm building the character right now. One of the first things I do is find a song that the character and I both would like, and it's my bridge to that character. So I think you're 100% right. Yeah. Just a little bit of breaking news we've got to get to really quick. And we're going to just for a minute, Melissa, you can time me. We have a minute episode of Playmakers for you, everybody. a quick minute episode of Playmakers that you can catch every Monday from 3 to 4. Melissa's timing me. NFL owners approve a massive revamp of the kickoff play Tuesday, opting for a format that originated in the XFL. And after 3 days of discussions, the new alignment rules represent the most significant on-field rule change for the NFL in years and is designed to reverse more than a decade of declining return rates, which also lowered concussion rates. In essence, the format will move the majority of kicking and return teams downfield to minimize high-speed collisions. It will go into effect for 1 year only in anticipation of possible tweaks over time. So the kickoff is gone. The kickoff in football is gone. My favorite play in possibly in all of sports, the kick return, they have pretty much taken away. They're doing this for safety. They're doing it for a lot of reasons. We'll see.
It's going to minimize injuries. I say it's worthwhile.
It's really the only way we're going to keep the sport. I don't know if anybody else sees that writing on the wall here or not, but we're just getting more and more data. We're getting more and more. It's one of the craziest things you will ever hear me say, the idea that football could go away. That's insane. It's the biggest game in the world. It's the biggest moneymaker in the world and all that. But if moms and dads don't want their kids playing this game, you're going to lose the base of where you're getting your people, unless you're gonna have robots playing the games. Nobody's gonna watch robots playing the games.
I don't know about that, James.
As I said it, it's one of those things. As I said it, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute here. Wait. You put a bunch of robots in Packer jerseys. I bet you there's going to be some people watching. I bet
Transformers.
You. Transformers.
Yes.
I transformed from a quarterback to a running back.
And to be fair, only American football will be going away.
Right.
Soccer's Not going anywhere.
No, no. However you feel about soccer, soccer's never going anywhere. It's in part because all you need is a ball. That's all you need, and you can play soccer. You know, you can make a goal out of anything. Two people can play soccer. 10 people can play soccer. It's part of the reason why this sport's so popular in poorer countries and everything. And you're never going to get away. You'll never get rid of poor sports. Basketball is like that to me. We had barely anything, but we could make a basketball hoop and find a ball and shoot. Mm-hmm. You know? Event parking, Melissa, is where we're going next. Have you ever avoided going out because you didn't want to deal with parking? Mm-hmm. Most Americans say yes, big time. In fact,
in bigger cities especially.
Yeah, yeah. 75% of us have skipped a social event because we knew parking would be a hassle. Most agree city centers tend to be the hardest places to find a spot. 88% try to avoid paying for parking. We'll drive around for an average of 10 minutes looking for an open spot that's free.
10 minutes is nothing.
Yeah, really. 57%, I've bopped around for at least 20 minutes, a half an hour before in California. 57% have also used public transportation or Uber to avoid dealing with parking.
I've done that.
Yep, me too. Young people are more likely to do that routine. In the last stat, two-thirds of people who avoid paying for parking said that they'd be more willing to pay if they could reserve a spot ahead of time.
That's a good idea, because then you know where to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that idea. I agree with that. I think that's a really good one right there. Mm-hmm. So, have you done this, Melissa? Because I know I have.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, I've done this in Toma, which is, not a very big town, 10,000 people, at Cranfest. In Warrens, which is an even tinier town with just a few hundred people. But at Cranfest, it swells to bazillion. But parking there is ridiculous because you park in a field. And then you have to walk forever to get to the event.
Mm.
So oftentimes they have, or every year, they have a spot in Toma where you can park, and then you take the bus. And the bus drops you off right on the main drag, downtown Warrens.
So I went to a Radiohead festival show when I was in California, and we did a similar thing with that, where we took a shuttle to it and everything. It was pretty cool. I'd never done anything like that. Most of the majority of shows I've seen have been in Wisconsin here, so, pretty much driving to it. But when I've gone to see a handful of shows in Chicago, whether it's at the United Center or the Chicago Auditorium or anything like that, we tend to drive part of the way and then take the L train or take the bus the rest of the way, or a cab or something like
Public
that.
Public transportation, yep.
And that's what I personally, that's part of what I love about events. Like, I like the travel. I like I just enjoy the travel part of it. I like that I have to work to get to the event. The event means more to me. I feel like I enjoy it more. We have long known that I'm weird. All right. So that's already out there.
The journey is part of it, though, James. You're not the only one.
As I was saying it, though, I'm like thinking, well, I don't know how much this makes sense, but because I don't feel like I'm wording it well. But there's something about that because I never do these things by myself. I've gone to like one big show by myself. Otherwise, it's usually with friends and stuff. And a lot of the time you're catching up, or you're just having a good part of the, like you said, part of the adventure is the crazy things that happen on the way to the show or after the show.
Well, on my trip out to Arizona, because I flew down after Aaron had already driven down, and I know this isn't an event, but similar thing with the travel part, I got to meet some really interesting people while I was at the airport waiting during my layover, because I sat at a bar. And the people that came and sat next to me, we had a good conversation, and then they moved on, and I was still there because I had a 3-hour layover. But it's interesting to just be able to chat up with people that, you wouldn't otherwise run into.
Yeah. We've got about a minute and a half here. Let's check in with one of our listeners. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
When it comes to the events, certain events, it's good to take an Uber or try to find a shuttle. But to go to the Brewer game or to the Packer game or the Badger game, it's hard not to have to park and tailgate. You Uber, you can't tailgate.
Yeah.
That's true.
And that's Wisconsin.
It's kind of a law. It sort of is. You really do have to tailgate if you're going to a Brewer game. I don't know if you can do it otherwise.
But. And I am not loading a cooler into an Uber.
Yeah, it'd be kind of hard to put the cooler and then the grill and all that. And then great. Where are you going to put it after you get to the facility? But yeah.
Yeah, I got my cornhole board. I got to put my cornhole board on your roof. Just hang on. I'm going to tie it down.
I have to park. I mean, granted, yeah, you got to pay for the parking and stuff, but
it's worth it, though.
It's part of the fun.
Yeah, it is. I'm with you on this one.
Very good point, Kevin.
Always good to talk to you, man. Have a good morning.
All right, you guys have a great day.
You too. Melissa and I will be back in the 9 o'clock hour with all of you, the best listeners in radio, right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.